Welcome. Welcome to Bible study. Today, we are studying Ephesians 5.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're talking about living in the light, walking in the light, because we are children of the light. And we're also going to be talking about how that applies in the relationship between husband and wife. Woo! Y'all ready? We are going to read the entire chapter of Ephesians 5 as we begin this lesson. All of the verses. So I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. And so we will go and read the entire chapter. So if you are going to follow along, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and we're going to see where we all are. If you have ever been married, raise your hand. Or if you would ever someday like to be married, raise your hand. Or if you are a person whom anybody ever talks to about their marriage, please raise your hand. And if any of us here are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, raise your hand.
Praise God.
Thank you. If there is any one of those categories apply to you and you were able to raise your hand, then this lesson speaks to all of us today. Amen. We're going to start by going through the homework section because we're just going to go with that as the flow. Chapter titles that we have today: Living in the Light, and also Wives and Husbands. Some of them say Walking in the Light, some of them say Spirit-Guided Relationship for the second part. So what we're talking about in its entirety of chapter 5 of Ephesians is we are children of God. We are the saved. We are the believers. We are now in the family of God. We're the Ephesians, we're the Gentiles. They came into the family of God. And now we are walking as children of God. So there are some general instructions for us at the beginning of the chapter. And then it gets really specific towards the husband and wife relationship at the end of the chapter. Okay, let's look at question 2. As children of God, what should we be doing according to verses 1, 10, and 17? Verse 1 says, be imitators of God. That's very simple. Verse 10 says, try to discern or understand what is pleasing to the Lord. And verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Because now we're in the family. Now we are redeemed. Our souls have been saved. Our sin has been forgiven. So, therefore, there's a therefore. We've received the blessings of salvation. Now it's time to hear what all the implications of that are. Are you saved? Yes. What now? Now we understand what the will of the Lord is and we imitate God. Why? Why do wives have to submit to their husbands? Because we show the world the love that God has for us. We show the world what Christ has done for the church, his body, as we obey all of what we understand in the Bible, all the parts, forgiving your enemies, as we obey all the parts that are in the Bible, go to church and fellowship with other believers, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. It's all for our benefit and our equipping. All scripture is beneficial for training in righteousness and for rebuke, because sometimes we don't. Or maybe we haven't, and we fall short. But all fall short and sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are saved by grace through faith. So we have now that you're in the family, this is what it looks like. This is healthy. This is the way the Spirit guides you and helps you and teaches you, because this is the witness to the world. And not only is it a witness to the world, this is what equips you. This is what trains you. This is what grants you the greatest peace when we follow God. As children of God, what should we be doing? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How are we going to understand what the will of the Lord is? We are going to take our eyes and put it in the Holy Word of God, and we are going to read it, and we are going to study it. We are going to join with other people who are talking about the Bible. We are going to come to Bible study. We're going to come to church. We're going to talk to the pastor. We're going to speak to a counselor on occasion. We're going to talk to a shepherd. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer to find out what the will of the Lord is, because those are the things that we need to be doing now. Does this say it's optional? Is it optional?
No.
No.
Now, 1, 2, 2, no. I am with you, in the ranks with you. I am one of you, okay? But I'm also standing up here, and I'm leading you and guiding you through the Bible, the Bibles. Let's let God's Word penetrate our hearts, divide the soul and the spirit. Let's let God's Word do the work in us. Let's go on to question 3. As children of God, how should we be walking? Last week we studied in chapter 4 that we should be walking worthy. Walking worthy. We did that. This week there's some more things that he says about how we're supposed to walk. So in Ephesians 5 verse 2, walk in love. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. What does it say in verse 8? Walk as children of light. And what does it say in verse 15? Be careful then how you walk. Look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So we're going to imitate God and understand what the will of the Lord is, and we're going to walk in that wisdom. We're going to walk this way because we are children of light. Let's look at question 4. So we talked a little bit about spiritual transformation. Now, he's writing this letter, Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, who are the saints in the Ephesians. So these are the ones who have been saved, that are, you know, reading this letter and applying this letter. So it talks a little bit about that spiritual transformation in verse of these verses. So let's look at verse 8, and then let's see how it talks about the transformation that we have for our spiritual transformation. Verse 8 says, "For at one time you were darkness." You were darkness. It doesn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. What does it say in 13 and 14? When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. And that's why it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." We were dead in our sins. We were lost. We were dead. We were darkness, and we were walking in darkness. We were darkness. And what does it say in 16? Making the most use of our time, meaning now. Because we're supposed to look carefully at how we walk, and now we're supposed to walk wise, making the best use of our time, because the days are evil. So we were darkness. Can you agree that that's true? You know, when you've got evil and hate and wickedness and debauchery, all of that in you, when you are saved and forgiven, Christ cleanses you, washes you, and we were needing that cleansing and that forgiveness, that spiritual transformation. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are now a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." If we are to be imitators of God, there is no darkness in us. There's no darkness in our thoughts. There's no darkness in our heart. There's not going to be darkness in the things that we say or the way we act towards people. As imitators of God, walking in his wisdom, we are going to be children of light, shining our light for the Lord. Let's look at question 5. What do we learn about the Holy Spirit and our relationship with him? And this now has to do with the transformation we've just gone through. Verse 18 says this: "Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And go back now and look at verse 9. For the fruit of light, and some translations say the fruit of the Spirit, is found in all that is good and right and true. So, no more darkness, light. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in ways that are good and right and true. Now, there's teaching. As children of God, as children of the light, what are we no longer to do? What are we not to do? It's very good. He gives us a very nice list. Verses 3 through 7. This is our not list. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you. Verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Those are out of place. Verse 5. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or covetous, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. 7. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So it went from the things you're not supposed to do, and then it called them the sons of disobedience who are doing those things. And then he says, do not be partners with them that are doing those things. So now we have to not only not do these things, but we have to be careful about who we are with. People are influential. Who you're with is who you're like. Now, I know God calls us to go to the unsaved. He calls us to go to the sinner and those that don't know, so that they can hear, so that they can become saved. So yes, there is an element where we have got to go to be where they are in order to reach them. But there's a difference between going to evangelize and being partners with them. And that's what he says in verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. So as children of light, we're going to be very careful about that. Also, 11 and 12, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. Let's look at what it says right there, expose them. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Does that mean we're supposed to say, hey, what you're doing is sin? Well, let's look at what the very next word says. The very next verse says in 12, it's shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. To expose them, them being the deeds, the actions of the darkness, not the people. We're not exposing the people. We are exposing the deeds that are works of darkness and acts of darkness. And exposing them, what does that mean? We now know as children of light how we are to behave. And if that is an act of darkness, then I'm supposed to recognize that for what it is. Sin is sin. Call it what it is. So to expose them, the commentators. Now, I studied Matthew Henry commentary, and I studied Enduring Word commentary, and I studied Bible Gateway and Blue Letter Bible. Okay, so those are my resources. Here's what it says for expose them. Understand in your mind, these are deeds of darkness. That's what it means, the exposing. It's not, hey, everybody, let me tell you what's happening over here. The commentators say, exposing yourself to the knowledge that that is a work of darkness. Not exposing yourself to go and get in it, surely not. Not saying, hey, these people over here are doing the wrong thing. That's not it either. Exposing your mind to say, that is sin. And as a child of God, that is not for me. That's the exposing. Okay, that's what we're not supposed to do. And then there's another verse, also of things we're not supposed to do. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Okay, here's what Matthew Henry said. Drunkenness is a sin that seldom goes alone. Because if you get drunk, There's usually more sins in that time. So it's saying the excess to where you're not sober is the sin. Okay, so those are things we are not supposed to do. Let's look at question 7. As children of God, what more should we be doing? I'd already asked you in question 2, as children of God, what should we be doing? And then the earlier part of the chapter, it talked about we're supposed to imitate God and find out what the will of the Lord is. So he said that in the earlier part of the chapter. So what else now are we also supposed to be doing because we are the saved children of God? Verses 19 through 21 says these things. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So are things that children of light should be doing also is singing and speaking to one another in psalms. You know, when we come to church, if y'all attend church here, and we come to church, every time there's some morning announcements, they always, every Sunday, read some psalms. Every Sunday, they read from the psalms. Have y'all noticed that? Our church is a biblically based, Bible-following church, and they are doing what it says. We work to strive for church unity. We have people to lead us in prayer, solid biblical teaching, and we speak to one another in psalms. Very healthy, Christ-driven, biblically based church. If you're looking for a church home, please consider High Point as your church home. Now, we get to talk about wives. So, I wore a white dress today. I brought the flowers. Okay. Perhaps one day, there was a day that you did, or maybe you will, wear a dress, carry some flowers, with a smile on your face, love in your heart, ready to just walk and because it's the best day ever. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Because in that time, we've been the bride. We got the dress. We got our nails done. We have the ring. We got our hair done. We got our makeup done. We are without spot and blemish and wrinkle on that day. We have prepared. We are ready. We are the most beautiful. Perhaps we've been through beauty treatments. Perhaps we've gone to the salon. Maybe we've done some things for the very first time. And we come there. Right? And we got our girls with us. And then there he is. Be still my heart. Because he's looking really nice that day, too. He's got the tux on, you know, or the nice suit or the military garb, you know, and all that stuff, right? It's a good day. Yes. We were married for 10 weeks. Oh. I've now been married for 28 years and plus. We were married for 2 weeks. And then we had our first fight. We didn't fight when we were dating. I was in love. I was still in love. But, you know, well, then we got married. Lived together. It's 2 weeks in, we got to know each other a little better. And God says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what that means. What are God's instructions to wives, verses 22, 24, and 33? So let's see. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Hold your thoughts. 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Some of that's hard on some days. Some of that's hard on Sundays. We just sang Victory in Jesus. And I got to tell you, 28 years for me, and whatever for you, 28 years for me happened because of Jesus. 28 years for me has happened and is still ongoing because of Jesus. Amen. Now, I've got to tell you, there have been lots of prayers, lots of Bible study, and lots of tears. Because sometimes this life, the two becoming one, sometimes that's a challenging process for the unity in marriage. Not impossible, because that's the word of the Lord. Let me encourage you in that. But sometimes that's very difficult and challenging. So let me tell you what it means to submit, to come under. Sub, right? You think of submarine under the water. To submit means we are coming under the leadership and the head of the man who is the one who was appointed the head by God. When you submit, it's when you are challenged by the decision. Because if you're just like, he says, hey, let's go do this, and you're like, oh, let's go. That's not submitting. That's unity and agreement. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. When he says, let's go do this, and you're like, no. That doesn't show the world the beauty of Christ and the church. Because what we're supposed to be doing, according to Ephesians chapter 5, is walking as children of light, finding out what is the will of the Lord, walking in the wisdom of the Lord. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, let's look at what God says to the husbands. And we're going to circle back around again to the wives. We're also going to talk about what the commentators say are the exceptions to the rule. So just take a breath. I'm going to read you what the commentators say are the exceptions to the rule. So let's talk now about the husbands. In verse 25, 28, and 31. 25, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Husbands, responsibility as the head, they are to love like Christ did. They are to have a self-denying, sacrificial, holy love for the wife. The husband and the wife, in this dynamic, according to Ephesians 5, which is the spoken words of God, both the husband and the wife are called to die to self. Both the husband and the wife are called to sacrifice. Both the husband and the wife are called to see their marriage as a model of Jesus' relationship with the church. Love your wife. Love your wife. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gives us the spirit of power and love. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love. There's four kinds of love. There's eros love. Eros, where the word erotic comes from, erotical love. That's the chemistry love. That's the passionate love, the desire love. There's storge love. That's family love. That's parent and child, grandparent to grandchild. It's a holy love, but it's a different kind of love. There's philia love, friendship love. So that erotical love, that parent-child love, and my friendship love with you, feelings. It's the heart. It's the heart. Those are love that comes from feelings. There's another kind of love, agape love. This is what husbands are called to be doing when a husband is called to love his wife. This agape love is a higher kind of love. It's a different kind of love. This is a love that is based on a decision, not feelings. This is covenant love. This is vow making, vow fulfilling, promise fulfilling love. This is, I don't want to love you today, but I'm still here. Love. Are we ever unlovable, women?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Are we ever hard to get along with? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. We've been that, we've chanted that. Some days we're hard to love. But the man who has taken a wife is commanded by God to make the decision to love and take the feelings out of it. And that is the holy setup for a woman wife to come under and to submit to. Because if your man is going to love you by decision, by his vow to God, and he's going to fulfill his love to you because he vowed to God, because he's following the commands of God, that is a man that you can come under. Let's look really quick at the very last verse. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. So the husband, in loving his wife as he loves himself, the scriptures say a man feeds himself and nourishes his own body. So the man, as he takes care of himself, is supposed to be taking care of the wife. And with that happening, the wife sees that she respects her husband. That is the word of the Lord. Respect your husband. Just as we are on some days hard to love, on some days the man is hard to respect. We are one sinner saved by grace and another sinner saved by grace, and we come together in this thing called marriage, and we're supposed to become one. And he's supposed to leave his mother and become one with his wife. So if we're mothers of sons, also help your son to leave his mother and father and to become one with his wife, so that even he can be fulfilling the word of the Lord for himself and for his marriage. Because we're all the parts of this, aren't we? This is challenging. The word of God, it pierces our souls. It's supposed to do that. It's supposed to bring about the change. It's supposed to witness to the world. What are the exceptions? Pray that when I say what the commentator said are the exceptions, pray for understanding. Okay? First of all, I want to tell you, I am not a counselor. But if you are needing more conversation about these kind of things, the church has counselors, okay? But let me tell you what Enduring Word Commentator says are the exceptions for the wife in those times of submission and when that would not be the case. There's four. If he is asking you to sin, we know that one's very true because God just said, do not do these things. Sexual immorality shouldn't be among you. Greed shouldn't be among you. If your husband is asking you to sin, if anywhere in the scripture you find that God says this is not okay for his children, and your husband says, let's do it, you can say with the authority and backing of scripture, no. But now these other three, I'm just going to read what the commentator says. If your husband has become medically incapacitated or insane, that's number two. Number three, if your husband is physically abusive and endangers the safety of the wife or the children, the wife is free from her obligation to submit. She does not have to submit to his violence. And number four, when the husband breaks the marriage bond by adultery, Goes on to say, obviously a wife does not have to submit to her husband's adultery. The Bible says she has the right to come out from under his rank in such cases. If the husband has been guilty of adultery, the wife is no longer bound to give him obedience in everything. She can divorce him. She is allowed to do so by the scriptures. She is entitled to do so because adultery breaks the unity, breaks the relationship. They are now separate and no longer one. That's what Enduring Word commentator. So just for a summary of the times when the commentators say not to submit to your husbands. If he's asking you to sin, if he has become insane or medically incapacitated, if he is abusive and there's danger to you or others, the children, or if he has adultery. And so I say to you, if those things are happening and you need more talk about these things, please talk to people who can help you. Now we're going to end by looking at Christ and the church. Question 10. What do you learn about Christ in this chapter? Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. He loved the church. He gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. We are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. When Jesus spilt his precious blood, 1 Peter 1:19 says that the precious blood of Christ, his blood, is as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it is because of Jesus' blood that we are now without blemish and without spot in our salvation. Jesus is the standard example for the Christian marriage. Christ loved the church. He is our pattern. He loves us with a special love. He loves us with a constant love. He loves us with a self-sacrificing love. What more could he have done? He gave everything. Godly leadership in the church and in the marriage. Godly leadership says, I am your head, so I must care for you and serve you. Godly submission says, I am accountable before God to you. Let's look at these last couple of verses where it talks about 31. Go to 31. We're going to talk about this question 11. What is the mystery? 31 and 32. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. What does that mean? What's the mystery? Christ is the husband who left his father to come to here to be joined with his bride. That's what Jesus did, and that's the kind of love that we should be imitating. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's your word. It's your scriptures. You wrote it. You command it. We are your children. Strengthen us. Empower us to obey you in the hard things on the hard days. Empower us. Give us the wisdom to know what the will of the Lord is. Help us to respect. Help us to submit. Help us to love with that self-sacrificing, agape, covenant kind of love. We are beneficiaries of that love that you have for us. It's the witness to the world to show how you love the church when the marriage is operating as the Spirit guides. Strengthen us. Because when we leave here today, there's some things we got to do. There's some conversations we probably need to have. So, oh Lord, give us grace and mercy and forgiveness for the times when we have not followed these instructions before. And Lord, help us to know with your wisdom and the filling of your Spirit in what scenarios the exceptions apply. And if we still have confusion on that, Lord, guide us to the right person who can give us more spiritual insight to know how to follow you and how best to do this thing. All of this, Lord, is because of your love for us. Everything we do should be a reflection of your love for us. Help us to walk that out. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.